Thank you very much, David. David, if can I give you my phone? If this rings, put it in the nearest bottle of water, will you? My name's Gary Corbett. It's a pleasure not to see you because I can't see anybody with this light in my eyes. That's a little bit better. In one of these pockets I have a speech. Can't do much with that now. It's a pleasure to be here. David spoke to me a few days ago about this. I love the idea. I'm going to talk for probably a quarter of an hour, which means 20 minutes. I hope I'm going to be interesting. If I'm not, please talk to your partner, somebody else's partner, go get a beer. Enjoy yourselves. What I'm going to talk about really is what David alluded to as being lifestyle. You are a long time dead, so enjoy your life. I'm going to talk about who I am and why I've perhaps got the arrogance to be here talking to you. Then I'm going to talk to you about business opportunities here in Uganda and what not to do, and then perhaps what to do. Then I'm going to gently weave my way to the bar and have a very cold club. My old friend Chris Ireland is here. Chris used to be brand manager for club. I'm sure he hopes his new business at Broadband has as many loyal customers at Broadband as he had with me with club. So let me move quickly. Who am I? I'm Gary Corbett. I'm an Irish national. I speak like I'm English. I support three teams. I support Uganda. I support Ireland. And whoever's playing England. I was born a few years ago, and I'm very pleased I fit David's age profile. I fit in very sweetly. I was a bit worried if I was under the age limit, but no, I'm okay. I'm the managing director of ICEA, which stands for Insurance Company of East Africa, and I'm Ugandan. I must be Ugandan because I wanted Barack Obama to win. I support Lewis Hamilton. I love the English Premier League. And I'm married to an Acholi beautiful woman. She is a doctor, not of any obvious qualification. She's a doctor because she has a PhD in shopping. And I consider Uganda to be my home. I've been here since 1999. What else can I tell you? Well, let me start. I'm going to tell you a bit about me. I am the world's expert on me. I think I'm very interesting, and I can kind of go on for about 7 hours, but I'll try and limit it. Let's start at 16. I decided that at 16 I would accept my first job offer, which was playing professional football for a team called Luton Town in London. And I signed up, and I was a professional footballer. I had beautiful long blonde hair, as you can see. It was beautiful, maybe not quite so beautiful these days. But I was a striker. We didn't have names on our shirts when I was playing football. I had number 10, but my job was to score goals. I was inside left, for those of you who remember those phrases. And what I learned very quickly as a professional footballer with 10,000 people yelling and screaming abuse at you is how to play to the crowd. Now, the reason I had long blonde hair was because I wanted to be seen. I wanted people to recognize who I was. And I realized the customers, that means the crowd, they are kings. They pay your salary. And if I scored 2 goals playing for Luton Town, 2 goals in 1 game, that's more than my dear old dad earned in a month. Now, even then, pay for footballers was ludicrous. I got transferred to Queen's Park Rangers, a West London team. It was even worse. It was fabulous. If I scored one goal a month, that was more than my dad earned in 2 months. Finally, I got transferred to another team. You may have heard of them. They play in blue. They're in West London. They're called Chelsea. I was with Chelsea for a while. I never played in their first team. I wasn't good enough. But I learned how to understand what customers want. I liked my blonde hair. My mum has a fabulous photograph of me heading the ball into the net against Chelsea for Queen's Park Rangers. And the caption says, my name then was Vinny, because it was terribly trendy. Vinny Corbin sends the goalkeeper the wrong way to score our first goal. Actually, what happened is the ball hit my nose, broke it, and it went like a bullet into the bottom of the net. I had no idea what the hell was going on. But I ran around with my nose bleeding, my blonde hair flowing. Hey, yes. And those things kind of stay with you. I wasn't good enough to continue being a professional footballer, and at 19 I gave it up. And I started thinking, yeah, what else can I do? I joined Kodak. They make cameras, process films, things like that. And what Kodak wanted me to do was be kind of a walk around and sell cameras, which was easy, because everywhere I went in West London, customers would say, hey, I know you, Mr. Gary, yeah, you used to play for, and they would talk for hours, not about cameras, but what they wanted to do. Now that's a very interesting thing for 360 degree members. When you go and see a customer, don't talk about what you want to talk about. Look around on their walls. See photographs of their kids, their uncles, their mother, the Aga Khan. It doesn't matter who it is. Talk to them about what's important to them. They couldn't give a damn about what you want to talk about. It's what they want to talk about. I learned that very rapidly. And whilst I was with Deepest Dark Kodak, I found a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. It's by a guy called Dale Carnegie, who was born in 1887 in the States. If you haven't got it, get it, read it, synthesize it. It's fabulous. He is the archetype marketeer. And I'll explain the difference between a marketeer and a marketer in a few minutes. Wonderful stuff. Anyway, Kodak got a bit boring. All they really wanted me to do was go into a photo studio and posing in shorts with gorgeous women with bikinis on and pretend I was playing football. Boring as hell. I hated it. So I left there and I joined a company called Rank Xerox. It's now known as Xerox. These guys were tough. These were monsters. But they taught me how to be a businessman. And there's a lot of business people here. And I'd like to share with you some of the rules of engagement that I learned working for Xerox. I say Xerox, it's American, it kind of rhymes with anthrax, Xerox. They couldn't care that I had long blonde hair and I was beautiful. And well, now they would have been like, what do you do, Gary? No longer was I Mr. Gary. Oi, you, Corbett, what are you doing? And I learned some 5 rules. Let me share them with you. Number 1, you will get nowhere unless you work bloody hard. You want to see instant success? Don't happen. Not sustainably. Work hard. Number 2, and I love this one, never, ever, ever give up. A deal is never lost, it simply isn't won yet. Number 3, be honorable. Be honorable to yourself, honorable to everybody else. Number 4, don't lie. If if you say you're going to be there at 3 o'clock, bloody well be there at 3 o'clock. None of this African time nonsense. And finally, inspire others, because that's what you're going to do as you become senior managers. You're going to inspire others. I learned those things. And I had a wonderful career with Xerox, lasting 18 years. I really wish I'd have had the 360 degree network, because at the end of the 18 years, I was based in Nairobi, and I kind of lost the odd wife and girlfriend along the way. I got to be terribly important, but there was no one around to clap. And I would have enjoyed the Facebook philosophy. By the way, my picture is not in Facebook. I look like a Russian child molester. I have more chins than a Chinese telephone directory. So I wish I'd have been able to contact people like you to say, look, I'm not too sure. They want me to go to Norway. Where the hell is Norway? What do I do? I didn't. So I made the decision to stay with Deeply Start Right Xerox for nearly 2 more weeks. Then I resigned. I stayed in Kenya for a few years. This is in early 1990s. I ran wonderful IT businesses there, made lots of people huge amounts of money. Lost another couple of wives along the way. Pretty careless when you think about it. Actually, I've made my wives, ex-wives, very, very rich. So that's one of my achievements. And eventually, I was doing nothing in one of the hotels in Nairobi, and this small, plump little man accosted me. That's all I can say. His name is Gordon Wavamuna. He said, got it, you, I know you. And I had no clue who he was. And we sat and talked, and within 20 minutes, I'd signed a contract to come work in Kampala, to work with Gordon. Magnificent, brilliant entrepreneur. Okay, I took over his company called United Assurance, which was an absolute basket case, dreadful mess. Why it was a dreadful mess is all the things I'd learned about work bloody hard, honorable, etc., etc. Nobody did that. Nobody did any of it. All they talked about was office politics. I remember there's, I think it's the ex-premier Benassi who came back a few years ago. He said, Kampala is no longer the city of seven hills, it's the city of seven rumors. People talk and talk and talk and talk. So anyway, I worked very hard on getting United Assurance back. They became hugely successful. The Kenyans came in, bought it, renamed it UAP. I was sentenced to a year in deepest dark UAP in Kenya. I hated it. The problem with Kenya is, of course, it's full of Kenyans. The beauty of Uganda is it's full of Ugandans and Kenyans. So it's a bit more diluted. So in a nutshell, that's my background. I joined ICEA 3 years ago. ICEA was also a basket case. No leadership, no drive, no energy, no nothing. Let me share with you how to run a business here in Uganda. Number one, lead from the front. You are a battle warrior if you are here in Uganda. You are not a glass box officer. You know what I mean by glass box. You've got to some of these banks, and I'm sure there's people from the banks here. There are guys that live in their glass offices, day in, day out. They never speak to anybody. Customer? Oh, no, somebody else, somebody else, somebody else. Glass box officers. To be successful here, be a warrior. You're a corporate warrior, and be proud of it. Number two, your staff are everything. Number three, please. Never ever get involved in corruption. I've never paid anybody anything. Nobody's ever offered me a bribe. There's something wrong with me. I don't do these things, and my companies are very successful. Don't you get involved. So ICEA has done all very, very well, and it's all very historical now. But I've learned to love this country, and I think 360 degrees is a network that I sincerely wished I'd have had when I was going through my not-so-good times. And what David was saying earlier, I think, is very important. I want to move quickly to something that I'll call negative benchmarking, because quite a few of you may be thinking, as my beloved Acholi lady always thinks, yes, but Gary, I want to run my own business. This market, particularly Kampala, is what I call a me too market. We wait till somebody starts something up. And if it's a success, we go, yeah, me too. Every time I talk to the beloved Brenda, I say, well, what are you thinking of? She'll come out with something like this. Well, you know, I'm thinking of a tour and travel company. Madness. There's hundreds of them out there. Don't do it. Well, my friend goes to Dubai and brings in clothes, and don't do it. Don't even think of it. It's stupid. Then there is the event management. That's a new one. Everybody wants to go into event management. Please, guys, it's choking a horse out there. It ain't gonna work. Of course, you can open a bar. Yeah, right. And so it goes on. You all know the Me Too markets here. There are 29 banks here, for goodness sake. Some of you guys work in the banking sector. I would hate to be marketing director of a bank trying to get new customers. Where are they? I mean, get out of here. They don't exist. If they were there and they needed a bank account, they'd have got a bank account by now. So, there's a lot of areas, please, leave alone. But perhaps more positively, let me kind of focus on a few areas that might be of use. Most successful businesses are based on niche marketing. That is to say, there's a specific gap in the market. Let me give a few hints, pointers, thoughts. You might see a big fish tank in there. You might not, but there's a big fish tank in there. You may have no idea what those fish are. They're koi carp. But somebody here is a koi carp expert and has sold these fish to these people. So to start with, be an expert in your, whatever your business is. I'm sure you've all been, or many of you have been to phase two. Yeah? You go into phase two, and all you see on the trees are these brilliant flowers called orchids. Somebody knows what they're doing with those orchids because they're difficult. But other orchid growers are fanatical. Orchids sell for hundreds of thousands of dollars. My point being, be an expert in what product array or product line or service you're going into. Because if you're an expert, there ain't going to be much competition. And you're able to get word of mouth. Now, word of mouth recommendations are 100 times better than wasting money on the press, and TV, and goodness knows what else. Because successful business people don't spend money. You try and get Gordon Wabamudu to spend money. Third thing, when you're looking at business opportunities, try and avoid what I call box selling. A few years ago, somebody started to market inverters here as an alternative to generators. The guy cleaned up, did very, very well. Now what's happened? I've been to Shanghai, I've bought a great big container load of inverters, they've arrived, I'm going to sell them as cheaply as possible to try and get my money back. The fact that they last 6 weeks is neither here nor there. The problem with a box is it will probably go wrong, and unless you speak Cantonese, And unless you're a technical genius, it's going to be a nightmare. Don't do it. Final point on businesses to look at is what I call distribution channels. The best distribution channel, which in English means salesman, sales lady, is somebody who's paid commission only. Specifically, she or he gets paid when you get paid. That's a double whammy. It means not only do you get business, but that young boy, young girl is going to collect your money for you. And when they bring the money, you pay them. Marvelous. That's how to reduce your costs. You don't have overheads, you don't have collection costs, you don't have bad debt. It's brilliant. And as an example, I'm sure our friends at Barclays Bank have got me hot-wired here. They'll be listening. If any of you have ever taken a personal loan from Lloyds Bank, Barclays Bank, within 6 weeks of you starting to pay, you will be contacted to see, would you like some more, sir? Yeah, you've got 10 million, you like 15, 20? Well, we can organize it. What they're doing is, one, they make sure you can pay. Two, they top you up and keep you in debt. It's called repeat business. And in startup businesses, repeat business, I mean, you can see my tail wagging. That's what happens. It's wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, you may or may not agree with what I say in this dumb Mzungu. By the way, there's a debate whether Mzungu is a racist word or not. Trust me, I've been called an awful lot worse. Mzungu, I'm very proud to be called anything, as long as it's not a fool. If there's things that I've said that may have, shall we say, I'll stay till he's finished and I'll have another beer and then I'll go, fine, no problem. Equally, if there's one or two little golden nuggets, as I call them, that you may find useful in your lives, please do. But remember, the mistakes I've made were not to network with like-minded people with shared values. If I'd have done that, if I'd have had this opportunity, I would not have had so many heartaches in my life. And perhaps my ex-wives wouldn't be quite so rich. So 360 degrees is all wonderful. Initiative. My compliments to all concerned. I hope I haven't wasted too much of your time, and thank you for listening to me. Thank you.